things change. I think the nature calls for my CEO, but we continue nevertheless. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me just note a few things. The apologies from some commissioners. It's Women's Month, and as CGE, we've taken a decision that when we come for quarter reviews, at least we need to send two commissioners because it also adds on our course. And in fact, the plenary deployed myself and the deputy chair, so the deputy chair could not come, and Commissioner Loyland has to come. But I have these apologies from the deputy chairperson, Commissioner Togompumlwana, Commissioner Hicks, Commissioner Hose, Commissioner Mgoqi, Commissioner Nare, Commissioner Stevens Mazia, and Commissioner Mapazi. Some of these two commissioners are in Mpumalanga were actually launching our water study there. Chairperson, I must also thank the committee for the support that they've given us and the direction during our dark days in the Commission for Gender Equality. And we also thank the committee to actually invite us to this quarterly review and the discussion. Chair, I just need to get something from you. I'm not sure that in this plenary, but we've met with various stakeholders when we were appointed in June this year to talk about so many things. But one of the critical issues that have been raised by our stakeholders is that we need to engage this committee and submit the budget to this committee for the PBR they've just spoken about. So I would really like the chairperson to actually assist us in doing that. When can we do that and so on for this year? And nevertheless, chairperson, thank you very much. And I'll hand over to the CEO of the Gender Commission, who's going to actually report on the performance information, and our CFO is going to report on how we've actually spent finances from the 1st of June to the 30th of June this year. Thanks, Chair. I can see they're still flickering with the, I'm not sure there's logis, so, but I think with their computers. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chairperson, I'm trying to connect as you can.
Thank you. Honourable members, we have been here before the IT, so we can't be bogged down by the IT. It found us here on earth. So can we just proceed without it, since we do have hard copies?
We are even born.
Yeah.
I don't know because I might have to leave now. I didn't think the
yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Leave that and then I'll take it.
I'll be open. Where did you leave it? In Parliament. The lovely MP who has it for me.
Yeah, I'll drop it. I'll drop it for you. I'll keep it for you. You can start it tomorrow morning.
Oh goodness, that would actually be amazing. But they would kill me at work. They would absolutely kill me.
But I won't tell anybody.
So what time is this meeting supposed to end?
5.
That's not happening. What time is it now? It's like...
No, it might, though. Right?
Really?
Because I don't think with this issue there's going to be much to deal with.
Okay.
What time do you want to leave?
Oh, I had to be so... Okay. All right. Okay, I had to leave here physically.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. You know, as indicated that technology can sometimes be very problematic. If you look into my slide, the actual presentation comes through. The slide before the last one, there's a hyperlink, and I really hoped that I did not know technology played with me. I did not know that when you send to someone else that it would be difficult to open the hyperlink. And that is why we've provided now a table. That table is what is contained in the hyperlink. That is contained in slide number 17. And really that table is a table that will assist members, because when we came and we presented our strategic plan at the beginning of the financial year, we had also provided an annual performance plan indicating the kind of activities that we'll be doing. So the table is just really an aid to members to see, you know, that table, because that table is almost similar to the APP, even though we are speaking specifically just to what we have done for this first quarter. if you look into the actual rollout of our programs for the first quarter, it has been a little bit slow, but... This table is the one that is supposed to form a hyperlink. There's a hyperlink that is contained on, not on the finance, Honorable Lamola, on the performance information presentation. That's fine. On the performance information presentation, on page 17, there's this hyperlink. And that hyperlink represents this table. I know that I always get lambasted for time in this, talking too much. And Chair, as indicated, in terms of our first quarter, there's been a little bit of a slow in terms of our rollout for the annual performance plan, but that in itself does not raise any issues with us at this point as the Commission. It does not raise any warning bells that at the end of the financial year we would not have been able to reach all our targets. Usually the first quarter is comprised as well with a number of processes, reporting as per PFMA, reporting as per National Treasury regulations, and you find that people get more caught up in terms of work around production of AFS, production of the annual annual report for the past financial year, and ensuring that those are tabled timeously with the Auditor General of South Africa and the National Treasury. And those really were some of the processes that we were really engaged with. Where we have not met targets for this particular quarter, those will be rolled to the next quarter, and at this stage, as indicated, it does not necessarily raise any issues with us or with management at the Commission and Commissioners. I will move directly to the Research Department to try and highlight to the committee a number of programs that we had said we are going to be working on as the Commission. For the current financial year, the Department will be focusing more on policy briefs or policy dialogues. When we engaged the committee on our strategic plan, we had indicated that we have quite a number of reports which we have produced previously. For example, your land study report, your widowhood report, just to but mention a few. And those specific reports, we have not had an opportunity to really engage with the recommendations that we, findings and recommendations that we have put in that report with policymakers. And therefore, this year, one of the main things that we wanted to do from the Research Department is to ensure that we dialogue with policymakers and ensure that the findings and the recommendations that the Commission has come up with will be acted upon. Secondly, what the Department will be doing for this financial year is to report, is to come up with a monitoring and evaluation report of the victims' charter. We normally call it the victims' charter report. I will unpack those, I'll just run through them. We have a gender barometer, which has looked into gender mainstreaming in terms of national departments previously, and this year we are looking into rolling that out to provincial and local to the provincial and local government tier. We are going to look into monitoring and evaluating the 365 days action plan, building capacity, and undertaking research on urgent and emerging issues. In terms of the Victims Charter report, just by way of background, in 2004, Cabinet had approved the South African Services Charter for Victims of Crime, which we normally all say or call it the Victims Charter. That Victims Charter highlighted rights of victims that have to be observed, and different departments had different obligations towards empowerment of victims of violence. In the years, each and every year, we have been monitoring and evaluating the Victims Charter and looking into two departments per year. In this current financial year, we are only left and we will be looking into Department of Correctional Services and Department of Health. So those are the two departments that we are left with since we started the process of evaluating and monitoring the Victims Charter. And that's what we are currently rolling out. For the reporting period, that is for this specific quarter, we have finalized our instruments that we normally use. We have identified quite a number. We spent time identifying and selecting the one-stop centers and health facilities and correctional facilities that we'll be evaluating. And we will then, we commenced partly with getting information for that report from these those specific selected stop centers and health facilities. As indicated, we have the gender barometer as well again for this financial year. Previously, in the past financial year, we specifically looked into monitoring and evaluating gender mainstreaming within government departments, national departments, using our gender barometer tool. This year, we are going to be focusing more on provincial and local government. We have also started, for this quarter, we also worked on, there were some, you know, as you come up with a new tool, it's a web-based tool. And we piloted it, and we've got that report, and in there were some recommendations in terms of how we can refine that particular tool as the CGE. Because when you look previously into the national report, it was clear that in some instances, some departments have not been able, for instance, to complete the instrument in full, and therefore we've tried to come up with ways to curtail it, but as well, took much more time this time around to engage with the different stakeholders within provincial government and local government just to train them on how to use the tool, with the hope that at least the results that we'll get for this particular financial year will be better than what we received in the national study that was done previously or in the previous financial year. The tool, the gender barometer tool, will be looking specifically into human settlement and public works, and two municipalities will be evaluated. We try as much as possible to give, you know, provinces a little bit of flexibility in terms of the municipalities that they can choose or look into ensuring that the gender mainstreaming is evaluated. The all the parties that will be participating in this particular study are supposed to return a completed tool to the Commission by October 2012. So we are hoping in this second quarter that all the stakeholders whom this particular tool has been administered will be able to report accordingly and within specified time frames or agreed upon time frames. We've got the 365 days action plan as one of the activities that the department was going to be looking into in this current financial year. I must indicate this, we also take it to be an annual plan, as the committee will remember, even from the previous. In the last financial year, we have a report that has been finalized on this, and we had set it for ourselves that, because it, last year was the first year that we really looked into this plan, we set it for ourselves that this year we will go back and check exactly what is happening. However, I must indicate to this committee that that particular activity of ours is at risk, because we have been, it has been indicated, the plan previously was with NPA, and now it was moved to the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, and that department has also indicated that the new GBV council that has been set up, there's a possibility that that plan will be moved to them. Should the plan be moved to them, we are not sure whether they are going to change it in any way or whether it will stay the same to enable us to roll out. So depending on what the future of that plan that was previously with NPA and now is under the ministry, we will then evaluate and see. Should there be issues, we will indicate accordingly to say that these are the issues that, to indicate timeously that that particular activity will not take place because of those specific reasons. In terms of the policy briefs, for the period under review, what we first did, because our researchers have never gone through a process of policy briefs, this is the first. What we normally do with our reports, yes, we engage officials in the departments in terms of the recommendations. We engage this portfolio committee as well in some of the engagements or some of the recommendations that are coming out of our reports. But we've never really had a process where we engage directly with policymakers in departments. And we have the following reports that we are going to be looking into. We've got the land study report, we've got the widowhood report, we've got the private sector report, which really looks at issues of employment equity. We've got the water study, and we've got the education report, which was also looking at issues of mainstreaming curriculum at in higher institutions. So these reports are there, they are past reports, but we've never meaningfully really engaged with policymakers, and therefore this quarter the process was for us to develop those policy briefs and then be able to start holding the actual dialogues in the second quarter. I just highlighted, just for members, just to indicate on page 10 of the slides, just to try and highlight some of the policy issues that we, just as an example, some of the policy issues that we will be engaging with, or what are the kind of recommendations that we'll be looking into. If you look at into the water study, for instance, it reveals that there's general failure by the water sector to prioritize gender mainstreaming. And in particular, there's a widespread of lack of understanding or knowledge of relevant gender policies and legislation at local government. And therefore, when we then engage with high up people this time around instead of officials, these are some of the things that we will be bringing to their attention. If you look into the education report, for instance, we know that in 1996 there was a gender equity task team that came up with some recommendations. And those recommendations seemingly are still, you know, they still have not been taken into account. So there's a clear need for a gender policy to be formulated by the Department of Education so that there's some form of uniformity across all provinces and schools in terms of how measures directed at eliminating gender discrimination should be implemented. If you look into the widowhood study, it revealed a number of serious issues that require attention as well from both the public and the private sector. There is an urgent need to review legislation relevant to widows' access to the estate You know, whenever a widow is there, there are always issues when it comes to estate and how the estate is divided and all that. So there is real problem that we need to be engaging on there. There is a need for visibility of support systems and stakeholders that deal with widowhood so that they can easily be accessible. Continuous monitoring and evaluation of government's compliance to international and regional treaties that protect rights of widows is needed. And that's where we also come in as the Commission in terms of our Objective 3. One of our main work is to really look into compliance in terms of international instruments. Under the legal department, for this past quarter, we have mainly been engaging and looking into processes surrounding the traditional courts bill. We participated in all the hearings that were held throughout the country. First and foremost, we came up with our own submission in terms of how we saw the bill to be. And then we then decided to participate throughout the country on the hearings that were done, just to ensure that proper processes and procedures, stakeholders that were participating were aware in terms of what this bill entails and all that. And we have a report for that, for those particular processes. The department, the legal department, also working together with our public education and information department, came up with a concept document where we wanted to really go out and engage in some of the rural communities on the TCB. Because when we attended some of the hearings, we saw that, yes, the hearings were there, but in some instances, the rural people or rural communities were not really abreast in terms of what some of the issues that are in the traditional courts bill were relating to. And we had then set up to say we will be working closely, workshopping people. However, when the bill was then halted, we then stopped that whole process because it was indicated that there's a possibility that the bill will change and we'll then, our hope was once the bill has changed, then we'll look into it and look whether some of the issues that we have heard have been addressed and then re-look as to whether there's still a need for us to really go out and engage with communities. Under the legal department as well, for this financial year, we had put quite a number of hearings as per the last financial year as well. The hearings to convene, hearings that are looking into issues of gender transformation. And in this particular quarter, we called before us SAFA, the South African Football Association, to address the CGE on matters relating to promotion of women's football and gender transformation within SAFA itself. This hearing, I must also indicate, it also arose because CGE had a complaint previously that was put forth by SAUFA, South African Women Football Association, indicating that there were problems and they had raised concerns around recognition of their membership at SAFA and inadequate support for women's football. And we then decided to go a step further, other than just working and investigating and responding directly to the complainants on what they had raised, but we decided to hold a public hearing to call SAFA to provide information on issues of gender transformation. And the commission then made recommendations that SAFA leadership needs to really look into issues of transformation and ensure that mainstreaming happens and that there are programs that will really support gender mainstreaming. Under the legal department as well, for the period under review, we've received new 56 complaints. We have been able to close 71 cases. 231 cases are still active, and we were able to deal with 71 walk-in complaints. Those are complaints that perhaps somebody walks in, they need advice, and you advise them, and you do not necessarily have to open a file on them. Under litigation, I have highlighted quite a number of cases that we are dealing with as the commission. We've got chieftaincy, two chieftainship cases. I must indicate that, you know, we previously we've had, and I always get this question, because previously, as the commission, we worked on a case, the famous Shilubani case that was in Limpopo. That was also a chieftainship matter that ran up until to the Constitutional Court. And people always never understand why we are still dealing with chieftainship cases when a positive ruling was received from the Constitutional Court on that matter. But however, we always indicate that the ruling in the Shilubani matter was just a little bit limited, because it addressed the main reasoning behind it was to say, where communities are in support of changing and developing in such a way that they align themselves with the constitution, that nobody can change those things, and nobody can stop them from doing that. And therefore, on the basis of that, we still are getting all these matters, and I suppose until we get a case that clearly says, you know, whether as a woman, if you're a firstborn, you can take the reignship without necessarily coming up with all these other issues, we will be able to finally say we've dealt with matters around or arising to such issues. We've got quite a number of cases relating to maintenance, divorce, unlawful evictions, domestic violence, rape cases, and hate speech in cases in the Equality Court. So those are litigations that we have been involved in for this past quarter. Under our Public Education and Information Department, this department is a department that runs a series of interventions which includes, you know, dialogues, seminars, and information sessions. For the quarter, we ran a maternity benefits dialogue. We facilitated a follow-up dialogue from the National Dialogue, which we did in partnership with COSATU, which was looking mainly on access to maternity benefits for self-employed women. As we have reported even previously before the committee, the women that are self-employed, whether selling apples by the street or whether an advocate, you are not able to access UIF and those maternity benefits when you go on maternity. And therefore, we are really looking into a process where we can check if we can't make real recommendations for the Department of Labor to look into some of these issues. And we've also noted the non-ratification of the ILO Convention on Maternity Benefits, and we will be continuing to see if we can engage and ensure that particular ILO convention is signed and ratified. We had a consultative dialogue on sex work. Previously, the research department had compiled a draft concept paper on sex work with a view for us to stimulate discussions so that as the commission we have a formal position on sex work / prostitution. This dialogue was hosted by the CG in collaboration with different stakeholders such as SWET, the LRC, COSATU and FEDUSA, and Women's Legal Center, and quite a number of options relating to decriminalization or legalizing and criminalization of sex work were put forth as a way to augment our research and try and come up as an institution with a specific recommendation and a position to say what is it that we feel should happen with that, with issues surrounding sex work, criminalization, legalization. Chair, at this point, I've now reached the point where I would have been able to click and show the annual performance tracking table, as we call it. It's just, as I indicated, a table. It really speaks to some of the issues that I have highlighted in my presentation. However, I wanted it to also be clear in terms of a format of the APP that we had presented before this particular committee, because it will make more sense when we speak in terms of quarter one, what did we do for hearings, and all that. So I'm not too sure, Chair, if really you want me to go through the table. I see the chairperson is already giving me notes to say I must speak fast. So, Chair, I'll just need to check from you whether this really is the same annual performance plan that was presented to this committee. And what I wanted to do was to be able to track using that similar document so that it makes it very clear for the committee members what are the actual activities that we've done so far. And this is a tracking document that we use on a quarterly basis to report back to back, even though there's a narrative in terms of the actual work that has been done.
I'm not sure because, I mean, the tracking table that you are referring to, it's not here. And, I mean, the table. This is the table. So what is not here? This table was supposed to be here. Okay.
Okay.
No, I think, thank you very much. As I said that, you know, unfortunately, time is against us. Is there anyone from your team that is still to add to this? Otherwise, I'll...
The most juicy part, the finances.
The finances. Okay, let us give you 10 minutes, and then I'll hand over to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair, Commissioner Loylan could not get any flights. Her flight is leaving at 6, so can you excuse her, Chairperson?
No, she's leaving. Excuse. Thank you.
The airport and so on.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The presentation on finances has been circulated. It's constituted of 14 slides and covers activities for a period of 1 April to end of June 2012, 3 months period. The first slides, the intention was as well to project it. Unfortunately, technology failed us. So the first slide is just a cover slide. Next slide, introduction, or the table of contents. There, basically, we're going to be discussing the budget in brief. Just for information, we have presented the budget to the committee at the beginning of the financial year, or before the financial year began. We have, however, included some slides just to give some background as to how spending plans are within the commission. We're going to talk around some analysis on spending activities in the first quarter of the 2012-13 financial year and make some analysis as well on the financial position within the institution, and at the end make some commentary around other general matters connected to financial management. We can skip the next slide basically because it's sort of expand on the introductory part. Slide number 4, titled Projected Budget Figures. It's a mere rendition of budget allocations compared to the previous financial year. The current one is the 58.3 million.
and the rest of the figures, which grew from 55 in 2011-12 to 58.5 million in the current financial year. That's the money that has been allocated to the Commission for spending up and